At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we are all reacting to Dave Murray's forecast because it is very unusual. I've lived it. You guys have lived here your entire life, right? I've lived here for more years than I've ever lived anywhere else. And you know, when I moved here in 1979, those early summers in the 80s were just brutal. 80, 81, 82. I was a freshman at Mizzou in 83. And, you know, we've done a lot of suffering. I thought July of this year was pretty rough. But now we have temperatures that we're more used to getting at the end of September, not the end of August. Right?
You know, when I went to walk Luna this morning around 6 a.m., it's like, do I need a jacket?
Yes.
I think I might need a jacket.
You did.
Got to wear a little hoodie, yeah. Fred. You got to put the hoodie on there, just like John Fetterman. So Sue and I are excited about this because Diana Ross is coming to the Muni to do a concert. They hadn't done concerts there for like 30 years. John Legend did one last year. And so right before the show was getting going, I thought, you know what? I'd like to know, like, how is this going to work? Because she's also performing with John Batiste, who he's amazing, absolutely amazing. So I Googled it, and I don't like to look at set lists all the time before shows, but they have never done this together. So they've performed, I guess, with each other in a different capacity on stage at the same time, but they've never done, it's like described as a co-headliner thing, Sue.
I love this.
So I'm guessing there's going to be collaborations, and look, I would be excited just to see John Batiste because I think he is phenomenally entertaining and really, really good. But with Diana Ross,
how are you going to beat it?
I'm skipping the Mizzou game, the opener of the Mizzou game, to go to this concert.
How about that?
And there are tickets available. 8 o'clock. It says 8 o'clock start time on Thursday. Something tells me that's pretty close to when it'll start. You
know, I hope so, because Diana Ross needs her rest as I do.
Well, yeah, because she's 80, right?
Yeah.
Is that confirmed? Yeah, well, we all need the rest. So this is music related. I thought it was fascinating, and hopefully I think people who are into music will, and I know some of you might not be into music, but in the LA Times this morning, there was a story about a guy by the name of Reuben Cox, and the way they describe it is inside a wooden cabin of a building nestled on the outer edge of Silver Lake, Reuben Cox started messing around with a guitar and accidentally created a new chapter in the history of rock and roll. This goes back 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, 2016. He has a guitar shop called the Old Style Guitar Shop. And he was getting an idea after listening to somebody play a 1950s Harmony electric banjo. And that featured a removable rubber mute that could wedge against the strings. And he says it was a funky little instrument. And the muting device, which was designed to take the edge off a little, caught his eye and ear. So he starts messing around. This is a story that Bob Heil would love, the late Bob Heil, yeah, who created the Heil Talk Box that Peter Frampton used and was a good friend of mine. He passed away because this is right up his alley. But Cox starts tinkering around and says, look, is there anything like this that would work on a guitar? So he goes to a Home Depot, and he ends up in the toilet aisle of the Home Depot.
Like you do.
And, yeah, all right. And he finds this little thing And it's this little plastic twist thing that he puts on the bridge of the guitar.
Wow.
So what happens is with the mute becoming the bridge where the strings rest near the sound hole, I was like, oh, well, let's see what will happen. And he says it ended up being a bullseye. So through word of mouth, this thing starts to catch on. It's called the rubber bridge guitar. And now I guess there's people that are using it like crazy. And he says that musicians, and again, this story goes back almost 10 years, started lining up to buy, you know, guitars or commission one. Sometimes they were like, you need to make me one like this. And what it says is they were compelled not so much by what the rubber bridge sounds like, but rather what it doesn't. Because what apparently happens, and I'm not a musician, so I can just explain this the way they did in the LA Times, is it the rubber dampens the fullness of the notes. And it makes the guitar, in this particular situation, resemble a banjo or a plucked violin. So for guitarists that were in search of something that was a little different, and I thought that this was interesting, the way that he explained it, and hopefully musicians can relate to this. He goes, if you've been playing guitar for a really long time, your hands go to the same places and you repeat yourself. It's this different sound that you get from the, you know, the rubber thing that he puts on it, and it jumbles your mind in a way. And he says everything feels new. And for a lot of artists, the songs would just pop out of it. So this thing starts to grow. He had somebody played it on Bob Dylan's Rough and Rowdy Ways. Aaron Dressner, who is with a band called The National. It's funny because I hate The National. I don't know what it is about The National, but I love Aaron Dressner, and he produces albums, and he produced a lot of Taylor Swift, and he used it on Folklore. There's an artist by the name of Phoebe Bridgers, who 80% of the guitars on Punisher were said to be with the rubber bridge. Here's a St. Louis connection. Jeff Tweedy. Wilco was just here last week. He uses rubber bridge guitars regularly on Wilco albums and says that he had bought at least a dozen of them from this guy. And I guess Mills, the guy from the guitar shop, says it makes it sound like those high notes are even harder to play because they choke out. But something about how that sounds sort of is really fragile. It's really moving. It's kind of beautiful. So now I got to kind of pay attention to this a little bit because people are using it more and more. I mentioned earlier in the year, there is a great documentary on Netflix, which is called Norman's Rare Guitars. And it's about this guitar shop that's legendary.
I need to watch that.
It's so damn good.
Norman's,
it's unbelievable.
Okay.
Norman's Rare Guitars. But this sounds like it's right up the alley in the storytelling of that particular, you know, documentary. But I'd never heard of this before. And it's kind of interesting the way that things kind of catch on. This guy has a great story in and of himself because he opened the shop in 2010 at the age of 37 with less than $10,000 in savings. He was just a photographer who taught classes at Sarah Lawrence University in New York. But he had a wife at the time, I think they're divorced at this point, who took a job in L.A., and he decided to attempt to turn guitars into a career. And, you know, he watches a lot of YouTubes and he starts messing with some things. And then he ends up on this thing with the rubber guitar, and the rest is history. So the rubber bridge guitar, as it's called. And he said that it's the type to he's the type to throw pasta against the sonic wall and see what sticks. And this sort of stuck. So now I like to pay attention to different notes and different sounds that guitars. A lot of people are always, you know, if you're not into music or you don't pay much attention, you can see a band up on stage and they may have, you know, 10 different guitars that are in front
right.
of them. And
yeah,
do they play all of them? Well, a lot of times they do because they're looking for different sounds that the different guitars will, you know, provide different strings, the way that the, you know, guitars are crafted. So it's kind of interesting. I thought it was a great story.
Now I want to hear one, see if I can identify what it sounds
right,
like.
Right.
I can tell how different it might be.
If the host was a little bit more on top of things here today, I would have pulled some audio examples. When I was reading this story in the LA Times, there wasn't anything that jumped out so I could say, hey, Ethan, you know, pull this particular song. But I did think it was interesting. It was a really good story. They do a lot of music features in the LA Times, which, you know, despite the biased coverage I see on politics, I do like that particular paper. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll have a Tuesday edition of Sue's News. Cassie Smedley will be here at the bottom of the hour. We love her. She's the VP of Coin. That is the first credit card for conservatives, but she's a former RNC press secretary. We'll talk about some of the things that came up at the DNC meeting in the People's Republic of Minneapolis. You still have all this evidence of the the Democrats continuing to come down on the minority side on the hot issues. You know, the flag burning issue is still kind of, using a cliche, hot. I'd love to know her opinion on that. But beyond that, Ilya Shapiro is going to join us. He is one of our constitutional experts. He's the senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. I don't know his position on this one. Also, by the way, I do think it's nuanced what Trump is doing with this executive order. We played the audio yesterday because I think that for the most part, he's not. We'll see. We'll test this with Ilya. I don't think it's saying that you can't go in front of your house, your yard, or even in different circumstances and light the American flag on fire, because I think that is constitutionally protected free speech. But when you're inciting violence, that's a different category. Now, I think there are statutes that cover inciting violence. So I'll be curious to see where Ilya comes down. The other side of this is that, you know, you do have communities where they've put pride flags in the middle of crosswalks. And if someone does donuts, you know, then they're charged with a hate crime for that, which is just utterly ridiculous. So I'm not really in a whataboutism type of person. But when you compare and contrast to that, that's kind of fascinating, the juxtaposition. We'll get to that. But we got Sue's News coming up next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Tuesday afternoon, even though the crew in this studio, we all agree it is unanimous that we feel it should be Wednesday. And I don't know, there's something about today where I've had to question that a couple of different times. Unfortunately, it's just Tuesday. But here's what I'd say. The weather is beautiful and Labor Day weekend's coming up, right? So that is a very, very good thing.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, good news, Fred. It's National Toilet Paper Day.
All right.
And I've got a story further down that we'll talk about that. But it's also National Dog Day.
Aww.
Which we always love, and I do like seeing it on social media where people put up, you know, the photos of whatever. And here, whatever. Okay, they're dogs, Sue. That's the answer of whatever. Around 45% of Americans have a dog, compared to blank percent who own cats. Mark Reardon.
17%. I don't know. Just taking a shot.
21.
32. Ooh. I was impressed by that.
I would have guessed the number of dogs would have been a little bit higher.
But I kind of thought so, too. But there is a category for many people who have both, and that would be the Reardon Zoo.
Yes.
If you look at pet owners, 74% have a dog, 51% have a cat, and they are overlapped.
Yeah.
So,
well, what percentage has two dogs, three cats, and a bunny running around the house?
I can think of no one except you, Fred. You got
Oreo made an appearance on, you know, I was on Monica Adams' show this morning talking about my mental health situation, and they had pulled up some pictures from the Instagram, and sure enough, Oreo, who you can follow on Instagram at Oreo Smoreo the Bunny, he has, I think, approaching 5 million followers at this time. He's a huge hit. I mean, you'll probably see him on TikTok too, but you can always follow him. Of course, Oreo needs to post a little bit more because he hasn't posted maybe in 6 weeks, but the followers are sticking with him, so
that's all they are. That's all that counts.
Not a lot have peeled off.
Yeah, that's good. Well, he's very interesting. Very.
You know,
very,
what's
compelling,
fun, though,
I would
really,
call it.
I did put this on, you know, I put things on Instagram stories all the time, and I'm telling you, the way that Max, it's dog day, my puppy, who's 5 months old, is getting around now, Oreo doesn't even matter. He does not care. Oreo was eating his greens yesterday for lunch. Max was sitting there just staring at him.
I love that.
It's, people ask this all the time, like, how do they do it with the cats? The cats don't care about the bunny. The bunny actually plays with the cats, and he's getting very comfortable around the puppy. So this is all coming together.
That's really good.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
But
you
it's
know
great.
What? I think part of it is that doggy daycare wearing that puppy down. It's a stroke of genius.
Yeah, well, No Leash Needed is there for us, and he wears himself out, and then by the time he gets home, you know, sometimes he's got a fair amount of energy,
but he's still a baby.
By the way, now he's getting, you know, I've blocked him out of certain places in the house. Now he's starting to feel, okay, I own the house, because last night, I've kept it out of the primary bedroom. I have to say primary, I get accused of being racist, but he's found his way, just jumps on the bed in there now, decide, he took a nap in the master bedroom last night, away from us, because he was so comfortable, so.
Oh. That's kind of sweet. The poll looked at different sized dogs to see what our favorite is. Are you a big dog person, a small dog person, somewhere in the middle? Fred has a small.
I do.
I have medium. You don't have a huge dog, but you've had a range.
Yes, but here's what I would declare, just definitively, I will never get a small dog again.
Yeah.
I love my little dog Olaf. I'm the one who adopted him, but terriers and little dogs, and if you can fit in a purse or anything like that, I'm out. I'd rather have the big dog.
I'm with you, but I own two footballs, essentially.
You
That's
do.
That's what's happening.
They're chunky monkeys.
They are
they?
Chunky
yes.
monkeys. Now, the medium dogs are the most popular. That's anywhere from 26 to 54 pounds. Small dogs are next because you can carry them around and walk them like Fred, right?
Right.
And 25% say they want a big dog. They just don't have the space for it. Because, man, I saw some. Who was it? Today, I saw with a huge dog. What are the white dogs that we love? I can't think of them. But they're enormous. And if you are a crate trainer, you got to get some big old equipment in your house to be able to handle that.
Well, that's the other thing about small dogs is that people do. This is an important point, because if you don't have the room, or if you can't get that big dog out to exercise enough, it's always sad to me when people have small apartments and they have big dogs, because unless they're getting them out of that apartment or that house, then those poor dogs are not getting enough exercise.
Exactly.
So small dogs do serve a purpose in the ones that fit into your purses and look like hamsters. It's just I've decided that in the future they're not for me.
I understand. I feel the same. It does cost more to feed the big dogs as well.
Yes.
All right. On this day in
history.
And
the yard cleanup, I figured that out last night. That's a whole different. I've been away from the yard cleanup with a bigger dog. And
different
that's
tools.
About to kick.
Different
yes. Thank you, Fred. Yes, there are.
Fred, seriously, in the bags.
Right.
My theory at this new house, we don't have a fence yet. And we've got them on a lead. There's a stake in the yard and there's two leads. And all they really do is wrap themselves around trees and get stuck. But I follow them out there. And even in the morning at the crack of dawn, I'm in a robe and trying to wait to pick it up just right after it falls. It's just but what are you going to do? And I got a medium-sized bag for a medium-sized dog. I think maybe sizing up would be good. On this day in history, 118 years ago, in 1907, Harry Houdini jumped off a bridge over the San Francisco Bay with his hands tied to a 75-pound ball and chain. He swam to the surface in less than 2 minutes, minus said attachments. It was a trick, you know, Fred. But I know it's Houdini, and I know that maybe that's run-of-the-mill for the magician world. Wow, right?
There's
that's a lot.
It's
still mind-blowing.
A lot of skills needed for that.
And it's 1907 when he's doing that. Okay, a little music here. Because on this day in history, 57 years ago...
Don't make it bad.
I saw this on my Twitter feed today. I figured you would use this one.
Song and make it better.
We're going to play the whole song. It's 7 minutes.
Okay.
So, Sue, just hang on here. You're back in about 6 minutes and 30 seconds.
Then you can start to make it better. Hey,
this song was number one for 9 weeks. Longer than any of the band's other hits. And it was 1968, this day in history, when they released Hey Jude. Now, of course, it was written by Paul for John Lennon's 5-year-old son, Julian, to help him through his parents' divorce. John was in the process of leaving Julian's mom, Cynthia, for the amazing Yoko Ono. But that was 57 years ago today. And I saw an interview with Julian Lennon who say people ask him all the time about this song. Do you love it? What did it help you? And that sort of thing.
And, and his answer is?
Well, he gets tired of people asking him
that.
Beyond that, I wasn't clear on the answer. All right, here's our Turlet story, Fred. Harrison Ford asked Jay Leno to 3D print him a toilet seat. Like you do. Harrison Ford has a toilet in his Wyoming house that has a discolored and unattractive seat. The problem is this particular turlet was discontinued, so he couldn't find a replacement seat.
Mm.
So he went hunting for a new seat. Okay, now, anybody else thinking, you could probably afford a new toilet.
Exactly.
What are you doing? But apparently he really liked this one. Went hunting for a new seat, even asking friends in the plumbing industry, but then it hit him. He's like, you know what? I was on Jay Leno's garage a couple years ago, and he noticed that Jay had a 3D printer. So he called him up, and Jay is printing him a new seat.
That is fascinating.
I love this story.
Well, maybe, you know, look, I know he's worth gazillions of dollars, but maybe he's just like, this is ridiculous.
Yes!
There's nothing wrong with this toilet except for the seat's broken, right?
Exactly. Harrison says, quote, he embraced the project in a way I thought I never could imagine.
That's pretty cool, though. And, you know, we still get mystified a little bit by the 3D printing, but there is a pretty good use for it, right?
Yes. People appeared from the depths, said Ford, out of the shadows, and they all got involved in it. So apparently Jay had some help, and they're making him a new turlet seat. I just thought that was really cool.
That's a good story.
Zach Bryan is joining Matthew McConaughey on his upcoming book tour, and he's launching a book tour for his project Poems and Prayers, which is being released September the 16th. It's focused on faith, reflection, spiritual storytelling, but each stop of the tour will feature live music and spoken word, and Matthew will bring out a famous artist for each new city. So Tulsa, he's bringing out Zach Bryan, and he'll be doing that throughout
Matthew's
the country.
Book.
It's Matthew's book.
I gotcha.
He's just having a singer in every
Look,
port.
I'm a fan of McConaughey. He fascinates me with how weird and eccentric he is. I love his commercials. That would be a book I would be interested in.
Right?
Although it doesn't sound like a bio, right? It sounds
inspirational.
You know,
what I've learned. Well, that could be helpful, maybe.
Fred, get him on the show.
All right.
And this was a story that I found somewhere in the national press, but Powder Valley Nature Center in Kirkwood just threw a 41st birthday party for a turtle named Peanut. And her name is Peanut because she's shaped like one. She got caught in a plastic six-pack ring in the 80s, so the middle of her shell couldn't grow. But luckily, she's lived a good long life anyway, and she helped inspire it. The EPA now requires all six-pack rings to be degradable, but they take months to break down in sunlight. So if you take time to cut those, it still makes a difference. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Oh, and this is random. The U.S. Forest Service created Smokey the Bear in 1944 after their deal ran out with Disney to use Bambi in their forest fire prevention posters. Hmm. So, yeah, Smokey Bear replaced Bambi. I had no idea.
I had no idea either. Smokey Bear is making a little resurgence because now the campaign is about wildfires. So Smokey has been, and I'm glad you corrected because you said Smokey the Bear. No. It's Smokey Bear.
Yeah. Ooh.
There you go. Wrapping up a Sue's News for a Tuesday afternoon.
Possibility means you have a chance. compassion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments, Maurice's.
You know, I think it was kind of fun to hear this guy emerge again because the meeting was in his home state's capital. Is that what is the capital of Minnesota? See, now I'm questioning myself. In the biggest city. It's St. Paul, isn't it?
I don't
know. Kind of the same as Minneapolis, but here's Tim Walz.
Think of how easy it would be to be a damn Republican. Oh, what should I wear today? This stupid freaking red hat. What should I say today? I don't know. Just make sure it's cruel.
That's all he does is do a clown show. Can you even imagine if he was vice president right now?
Good grief.
I know.
We wouldn't wake up every day to a bunch of on TV and a bunch of nonsense. We would wake up to an adult with compassion and dignity and vision and leadership doing the work. Not a man-child crying about whatever's wrong with him. May his fat ankles find something today.
I guess that's what Democrats are clamoring for right now. Here's a bunch of the mayors that were at that meeting.
Makes me feel like our city is actually a test case for what happens when the federal government moves in and takes the authority away from the state or away from local government.
Stop attacking our cities to hide your administration's failures.
Yeah. I think that was Michelle Wu, the one who isn't that her name? She's the Boston mayor. She's the chief of the resistance. Some of those cuts were not from that meeting in Minneapolis. But Cassie Smedley is with us. She is the VP of COIN, which is the first credit card for conservatives, but a former RNC press secretary and one of our favorite pundits here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hi, Cassie. How are you?
Oh, hi, Mark. You are too kind, but always good to be with you.
Are you celebrating with your Kansas City roots the engagement today?
To be clear, I'm a Chiefs fan first, but I've had to mute my social media because every account is sharing the engagement. And it is very exciting. We're all very excited for Travis and Taylor. I hope the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl and Taylor is the halftime show. And it'll just be the full Hallmark story complete.
Yes, but I understand your point about social media, because once this thing started this morning, it just took off in very uncomfortable ways. Let's talk about Democrats and what they're doing right now. Here's Ken Martin, who is the chair.
I'm sick and tired of this Democratic Party bringing a pencil to a knife fight.
We're not going to have a hand tied behind our back anymore.
Let's grow a damn spine and get in this fight.
You know, Cassie, if you look at some of the issues, and this, I would say even the flag burning issue, and I'm not a big fan of what this executive order might do. I'm going to find out a little bit more about it with Ilya Shapiro after the top of the hour. But look, it's a popular issue, even with Democrats, to say it should be a crime to burn the flag. But every time we have more polling, or, you know, the New York Times last week did a really good job of breaking down some of the voter registration numbers, the Democrats versus Republicans in many states across the country. Now, in my state, in Missouri, you don't have to declare whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. But in 30 states, you do. And I'm sure you saw that story last week. Shane Goldmacher was one of the reporters at the New York Times. Those were staggering numbers for Democrats. So whereas there might be a conventional wisdom to say, okay, we're going to beat up on Trump, anti-Trump, anti-Trump, heading into 26 in the midterms, some of the other things that are kind of happening around Democrats don't really favor that particular scenario, do they?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Mark, when I was at the RNC, it was inverse. Republicans have long been trying to figure out how to close the gap or overcome the voter deficit gap. And we did that, and we did that with Donald Trump as the likely candidate, the candidate. So if I'm a Democrat, I'm saying, gosh, how did we fall behind in the last 8 years? And what have we been doing in the last 8 years that has caused millions of Americans to flee our party? Perhaps we should do something different. But instead, they're doing the same old, and I love the Tim Walz montage. Yeah. Like, please keep playing that, because they are rudderless, they're leaderless. But the other thing they're doing, and I tend to agree with you on the flag burning, you know, we'll let the courts figure that out. But what President Trump has done so well in really the last couple of weeks, honestly, is picked up on these issues that and goaded the Democrats into doing exactly what you assumed they were doing, which is taking the side of criminals in D.C. and an anti-police side. Now you've got them praising and applauding flag burners. We, of course, have them championing illegal immigrants, illegal criminal immigrants. And they just did that again today with Omar Garcia Brega. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. But the Maryland man, quote unquote.
The Maryland father, Cassie. The Maryland father. Just make sure you get that right. Yes, exactly.
The Maryland father, of course. Yeah, we forget about the wife beater part. But okay, Maryland father. But that's what I think he and Republicans more broadly are doing pretty well, is reminding people, showing people what today's Democrat Party is and why millions of them have fled it. And Democrats just cannot figure that out. All they would have to do is very simply say, take, for example, D.C. You know, Mark, this is the 1 year anniversary this weekend of my family and I moving from D.C. I lived there for 15 years, of course, came from Kansas City, and then we just moved out to Virginia. And a big reason why was because I had two small kids, and the gunshots were just literally getting too close to home. Was tired of the group text saying, hey, I just heard the gunshots, or I just got the police alert. Everybody okay? That's the daily life for people who live in D.C. in so-called desirable neighborhoods. And all it would take is for a Democrat to say, we don't accept this crime. We know things need to get better. We just don't want the federal government getting involved. Like, let's rehab our policies locally, which, of course, the D.C. City Council would never do. But they don't have to go that far, is my point. There's things they can say that reasonable thinking people would say, okay, I appreciate that. Instead, they go off and defend the criminals.
Yeah, they do it here. I mean, I don't think there's a better example, and President Trump points this out, of Brandon Johnson in Chicago. What's fascinating to me about mm-hmm. Chicago is there were so many times last year in particular, and I don't think much of the legacy media picked up on this because Fox was doing this reporting on the immigration crisis. Bill Malusian was down at the border. But I mean, we played audio from meetings that took place in neighborhoods in Chicago where African-American residents, legal residents, mm-hmm. who were taxpayers, were just livid about the resources that the migrants who were here illegally were getting and being, you know, prioritized over them. Again, that was not something that's the type of story that should have been leading some of the national newscasts. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of put into this category of, oh, yeah, the conservative media wants to cover this, or Fox wants to cover this. Same thing with crime and how Brandon Johnson gets away with minimizing what the people in his city and what visitors, you know, I'm from the suburbs mm-hmm. of Chicago originally. I think the city of Chicago Chicago and is an amazing place, but I've heard time and time again from people who have visited that it's not the same place. And that's sad. And, you know, St. Louis on a much smaller scale because of the population difference, same thing's happening here. And we still have members of our Board of Aldermen who are defund the police and they want social workers to come in and they don't want to prioritize public safety. Meantime, the people in North St. Louis and North St. Louis County and African-American neighborhoods, they've had it. They're done with it. And the Democrats just haven't learned their lessons. So to a certain extent, maybe an advantage for Republicans. But I don't know why, out of all the issues out there, they can't understand people's, you know, position on, hey, we should have less crime and more police. It's pretty basic.
Right. And again, looking into that and seeing, you just highlighted several examples of people that I think would call themselves Democrat. They're probably not that political, actually, but they would say, oh, I vote Democrat or I grew up in a Democrat house, who are saying, please acknowledge what we're going through. And with Democrats, whether it be on crime, immigration, the economy, which, of course, we saw last November, people are telling you what they're feeling and what their day-to-day life is like, and that I don't feel safe in my neighborhood or I can't afford my groceries. And the Democrats are saying, no, no, you know, it's the old Bill Clinton attitude. You're going to believe me or your lying eyes. And that's what's gotten them into so much trouble electorally. And Republicans, for their part, have to have the right policy prescriptions to empower people to be able to get a good job, that they can afford to, you know, pay their bills and live in a safe community. All of that stuff has to be the counter to all of this. And I think Republicans are doing a good job of that. Certainly President Trump helps the way he talks about all of these things and the actions on that. But Democrats are not that far off. It just seems that they keep picking the 20% side of these 80-20
time and time
issues.
And time again. Look, I'm going to be very fascinated. When you and I speak a year from now, I should make even a note about this, and we'll see what we're going to talk about heading into the midterms. Now, look, if the economy turns south, then that's the talking point, right? Mm-hmm. The Democrats will have that. They'll use that to their advantage. But when you look at anything else that's on the table right now, and by the way, there was a lot of those talking points in the spring, and now look at the stock market, the inflation numbers, the Fed's going to reduce, you know, interest rates. I think Jay Powell is going to do that next month. So if they have the economy, if we're looking like we're heading into a recession, well, that will be the number one talking point. But outside of that, let's take that just temporarily out of the mix and assume that we're rocking and rolling with the economy, which I think at this point, economists are not expecting a big downturn. What else do they have? I mean, literally, what else do they have outside of Orange Man bad? That's what they have,
right?
Time and time and time again. I'm sure you noticed that there's this group out there. It's a left-wing, they describe it as a center left-wing think tank called Third Way, which has circulated a list of 45 words and phrases they want Democrats to avoid using, mainly because real people don't speak this way. So things like triggering, microaggression, systems of oppression. I mean, there's a whole list here that we're familiar with because we mock this
Latinx.
On a regular. Yeah,
yes,
Latinx,
yes.
Or Latinx. That's one of my favorites because even Hispanic people hate that one. But, you know, they love the identity politics. They love it. They love criminals. So I don't know how, and I've pointed this out, and I say this because we have a lot of folks here from St. Louis and Missouri who are Democrats who aren't crazy, you know, and they agree with a lot of this stuff, and they're pro-police. But it does seem like the national narrative keeps coming back to the AOCs and just to have Tim Walz back in the news, that's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And Kamala going on her loser book tour. Please take all of that live.
Yes.
It's important that people hear that word salad every single day and remember the Democrats have not learned their lesson. This woman was that close and they all went in on her. And then, of course, she lost and they haven't learned their lesson. And now they tried out Tim Walz and they do all these crazy things. And yes, I'll take your point on 1 year from now, see if they've learned their lesson. But remember, speaking of Tim Walz, when they tried to convince us that J.D. Vance was weird, and everybody
yes,
was like, but
yes,
you're kind of weird. You know, it's, and they're the ones using all of these weird turns of phrases, which at a minimum, so people are like, just be normal. And that's what
they can't
last
do it,
November's
though.
Election
yeah.
was about.
They
no,
cannot do
but
it.
But it was the normies coming out to say, this is normal. This isn't. It is normal to be upset that there are boys in my daughter's locker room. It is normal to be upset that illegal immigrants are coming into our community and crime has ticked up. And if you can't acknowledge that, then you're never going to win people back. And I do think that, again, all of these things that we're talking about today, as much as it's the economy, the economy, the economy, but if Democrats can't find a way to say, we have a policy prescription, we have a point of view, and it's not just, to your point, orange man bad, it can't be we're just against everything that he's for, then Republicans will have a very good midterm election, despite the historical trend that says they shouldn't. You know, the party who controls the White House should have a bad midterm. But I just feel like we are on track to break that trend because the Democrats are so uniquely in disarray. We always say Dems are in disarray, but like they're really in disarray right now, and they just kind of can't figure it out.
It's hard for me to predict or to assume that they're going to turn things around in a year and all this is going to change. Now, again, you know, the economy could have a big impact. Here's one thing, though, and you have to have a unique perspective after being, you know, a spokesperson for the RNC. There was very few points yesterday and even this morning where you could turn on Fox, and I'm not sure how CNN covers this, where you could turn it on and not hear President Trump talking about a variety of issues. He's doing something in the morning. Then he's got the South Korean president. Then he's answering questions with him sitting next to him. Then later in the day, there was another one. I even had to say this on the air yesterday. I look up at like 4 o'clock and I asked my producer, I said, is that live again? Because Trump was up there giving so much access. And you think about the amount of times that Biden tried to spit out words over the past few years. So the accessibility issue is real. He is getting, a lot of attention because of that. And I think that the frustrating part for Democrats is that he's so good at retail politics, they can't seem to turn the messaging around. Even when they try, one of my favorite moments last week, they thought they had this moment where this innocent, migrant who is just working to make himself a better person in this country was taken into custody by the mean ICE guys. Problem is, he's a child molester, so we can't root for him. Mm-hmm. Darn it, we almost had our person, but we can't because that migrant who's here illegally and has been shipped out 3 times also has a felony charge against him for abusing someone under the age of 13. So they keep trying, but they can't find their poster boy, can they?
You mean they're not just rounding up people aimlessly on the street? There's actually some method to who they're pulling over in D.C. There's some policing happens, some police work
crazy
happens.
Talk, right?
Crazy Absolute talk. Crazy but I think talk. You're right about Trump. And just to put a button on this, and I had that same reaction yesterday. Is this live? I think he had 3, if not 4 polls into the Oval Office yesterday.
Yes.
And there's so much about regular Americans going about our lives. And even I fall into this category these days because you're right. I'm not at the RNC anymore. I'm not like following every single tweet that we're saying, is he working? Oh, he's working. Every time I look up, he's doing something. So that's good. I feel good about that versus the absentee president of Biden and all of these Democrats who just mindlessly, they were ready to mindlessly follow him back in for a second term. Or and then they dropped him on his head. No big deal. And brought in Kamala. No big deal. Just ordained her. That's the other thing, too, that they're just they're like fill in the blank so that
it's all TDS, though. It's very TDS, formulated. And that's why it does not bear much weight with me when I hear the complaints. Cassie Smedley, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. So, a story that I've completely ignored the last couple of days, and it's a significant story. And I think it's, we all have our areas of expertise in the media. Television, pretty good at, showing us pictures. And in this particular case, this explosion in St. Louis County, which is just crazy. 3 homes were basically leveled. This is near Blackjack in North St. Louis County. It happened yesterday. So Dave Carson, who's a photographer at the Post-Dispatch, was out there taking pictures. And then everyone's pulling double duty these days. So he had tracked down somebody who lived in a home very nearby. But if you haven't seen the images of this, it looks
crazy.
A bomb or an F5 tornado just took out 3 homes. And apparently other homes nearby were damaged. So here's, I think, Dave, with this dude who lives right near the houses that got taken out. A miracle that nobody was killed.
Yes,
too. There was an 18-year-old that was, I think, taken to the hospital. But I can't believe no one was killed.
This morning when I left to go to work at 6:30, it was a strong smell of gas outside.
Yeah. Just in the air generally?
Just in the air generally.
Mm-hmm. Did you look for the source of it at all or anything like that? Or you just cut? What would you think?
No, it's we have that smell around here because of the treatment center that's on the other side. So we're kind of used to it, but it was extra. It was a bit stronger this morning.
Have you been in your house since it happened at all?
I have been inside.
Yeah, that's not good, that Ooh. Question, because unfortunately his house got damaged quite a bit.
How's your house?
It's destroyed.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
What happened to your house?
My ceilings are down. All my lights are down. My ceiling fans are down. My garage door is blowed in. I got inside structural damage with furniture and personal items. It's just a mess.
How did you find out about it?
I got a phone call while I was at work from my wife. She was inside the house.
She was out of the house?
She was inside.
Yeah, no kidding. She was inside the house. Is she okay?
Yes, she's fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
That's amazing that she was inside the house, because they live right behind these three houses. The best way to explain it for those people who haven't seen it, you know, like when you see, even in a movie or in real life, because we've seen some of this in real life with attacks in Iran, for example, it looks like one of those things that a bunker busting bomb would take out. And then like a surgical strike on these three houses.
No kids at home or anything like that? Okay. Well, I'm glad everyone's safe. And the explosion happened basically behind your house then and stuff?
Yes, it's on the next block. It's another street behind our house, and there was a house back behind the neighbor's house that blew up, and the two houses on the side of it also got blown up in that house.
Well, I'm sorry this happened to your neighborhood.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he says, yeah, me too. So here's something outside of the homes that were destroyed. This guy's included. There were 20 homes that were damaged. And by late yesterday afternoon, I don't know if some of this has been removed at this point, 90% of the homes, so that's like, what, 18 out of the 20 homes, they had been tagged with a red label. They did this after the tornado. Remember, Jeff Rainford had this, where it was unsafe to be in your own house. So they keep you out of there for any reason whatsoever. There were homes that were tagged with yellow labels, but they could go back and, you know, get belongings and things like that. If you had a green label, and apparently there were very few, they were safe to enter. They, you know, power and the gas was off to about 30 homes in the neighborhood. This is nuts. Now, about that, you know, the building that he's referring to that is around the corner, that still sounds weird. And if it was one house that had a natural gas explosion, the way it took out those other two houses,
it is
inexplicable.
Seem right.
No.
Yeah. In fact, Spire said that crews could not find any leaks at the one of these houses. So it's really a mystery. And I've watched video from people's doorbell cams nearby. First of all, if you look at the drone footage, whoa.
Oh, I know. It's stunning.
But somebody's doorbell cam not that far away shows the entire thing and what happened to their house. I mean, this thing really hit.
Does it all happen at once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it's bizarre.
I can't wait to hear the answers on that one.
Get more at 971talk.com.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.